Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Northern Arc Capital Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Darwin. Good evening, everyone. I am Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal, and it is our pleasure to welcome you all to this earnings call. Thank you very much for joining us for the Northern Arc Capital call to discuss their Q4 FY26 earnings. To discuss the company's earnings, I am pleased to welcome Mr. Ashish Mehrotra, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Atul Tibrewal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Paradasarathy Lalavandi, Group Risk Officer and Governance Head, and Mr. Chetan Parmar, Head Investor Relations. On behalf of Motilal Oswal, we thank the senior management and the investor relations team of Northern Arc Capital for giving us this opportunity to host them today. I now invite Mr. Mehrotra for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for a Q&A. With that, over to you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Abhijit. Thank you for the kind introduction. Good evening, everyone, and I'm really delighted to welcome all of you today evening. I know it's a little late in the evening to discuss Northern Arc's performance for the quarter ending 31st March 2026. I'm also joined by my colleague, as Abhijit said earlier, by Atul Tibrewal, our CFO, Paradasarathy Lalavandi, our Group Risk and Governance Head, Jigar Sethia, Strategy Head, and Chetan Parmar, Head of Investor Relations. I think fair to start the call saying over the last 15 years, Northern Arc has very successfully navigated the multiple macroeconomic challenges, including COVID, geopolitical disruption, MFI over-leveraging cycles, evolving regulatory landscape. Despite these headwinds, Northern Arc has demonstrated strong resilience, delivering consistent growth both in terms of business and profitability. Our assets under management has grown over the last five years at a CAGR of about 26%, taking us to the milestone of 16,594 as on 31st of March, led by multifold growth in our direct-to-business segment, whose contribution increased from 19% going back to FY21 to about 59% in FY26. This shift has been driven, given us almost 380 basis points of expansion in our net interest margin from 5.6% to 9.4% in FY26. Importantly, this growth has remained disciplined, quality-led, with NPA consistently maintained below 1%. This disciplined, risk-calibrated AUM growth has translated into strong earnings performance, with profit after tax on a five-year average grown at about CAGR of 43% to about 406 crores on a full-year basis in FY26, underscoring the resilience, scalability, and profitability of our stated business model. Coming to 2026, this year was dynamic, marked by tailwinds and headwinds, with regulatory development was supportive and macroeconomic challenges and gradually improving credit environment ensured that we traded with caution. Amidst of this backdrop, I'm very pleased to announce that we continued to build on the momentum with Northern Arc Capital reporting highest-ever quarterly profit of 133 crores, taking our overall profit to about 406 crores, respectively. Our AUM has grown by about 22% on a year-on-year basis and about 10% over the previous quarter to reach 16,500, outpacing the industry, reflecting the sustained momentum and growth driven by direct-to-customer business, which is now about 59% of our total assets under management. Our direct-to-customer business grew by about 39% on a year-on-year basis, reaching past 9,800 crores, in line with our strategy to grow this business. We have three lines of businesses in direct-to-consumer. One is the consumer finance business, which continued the sustained growth driven by the demand in the consumption. The AUM has grown to now about 5,000 crores plus. During the quarter, we added few more partners, further strengthening our distribution capabilities. 70% of our customers are repeat customers, which demonstrate powerful proof of underwriting quality and customer stickiness on our platform. As a company, we remain focused on gathering risk-adjusted yield of approximately 15% and above in this business, which is reflected in a consistent performance over the last 3 years at about 6. Additionally, much-needed regulatory clarity on availing FLDG benefit while computing ECL provisions on digital lending is expected to provide stability in business profitability. Some of you may recollect that last year, March, we had to take extraordinary provision. With the clarity coming on 4th of February, this now puts the business on a very, very strong footing. The household consumption in India nearly doubled from 2.4 trillion during 2014 to 2024, growing at a faster pace than the major economies such as China, United States, and so on. This growth has been driven by the rising middle class, demographic advantages, increasing digital and financial inclusion, and rapid evolution of e-commerce and retail ecosystem. Our sense is that the household consumption is further expected to reach about 3.4 trillion by 2030, creating significant credit opportunities across the consumer consumption ecosystem. The second line of business and direct to customer is lending to MSME. Our MSME business continues to be a growth engine for Northern Arc, with portfolio growing at about 43% on year-on-year basis, currently at ending 31st March 26 at 3,691. The growth is being driven by expansion of physical footprint, including additional of 70 new branches during FY26 and improved productivity across existing branches. The portfolio quality continued to strengthen, with ex-bucket collection efficiency improving from 97.8% in September 25 to 98.8% in December 25, further to 99.4% in March 26. Improving collection coupled with 100% registered mortgage structures for our loan against property ensure we continue to build a very strong lend loan against property business for the small businesses, targeting the smaller businesses. While credit supply to MSME sector has increased meaningfully, the segment still faces an addressable credit gap of nearly 24%, estimated to be about 30 lakh crores. Given this large untapped opportunity, a continued investment in distribution, talent, infrastructure, technology will position us well to deliver disciplined, risk-calibrated growth in MSME segment over the coming quarters and years. The third line of business is rural finance. We recorded highest ever quarterly disbursement of about 305 crores in Q4, reflecting strong 17% quarter-on-quarter growth. As you will recollect, we had slowed down this disbursal over the last few quarters. As a consequence of that, our assets under management grew by about 8% to about 1,000 crores. During this quarter, we expanded our footprint with addition of 64 branches, taking our rural network to about 342 branches. Again, here, we've seen a significant improvement in collection efficiency. Our expected collection efficiency continued to show a consistent improvement, increasing from 98.7% in September 25 to 99.4% in December 25 and further improved to 99.6% in March 26. Some of you will recollect that states like Karnataka, where collection efficiencies was impacted by ordinance issued in Feb 25, has also improved from 94.5% to about 99.5%. The credit cost have consistently improved quarter on quarter to reach 1.3% in Q4 26, with full year credit costs declining from 6.7 to 4.9 in FY 26. The GNPA remained negligible at about 4 basis points as of March 26. Additionally, it's good, I must reiterate that 84% of our MFI book is covered under CGFMU, providing strong risk protection. The continued investment in branch expansion and sustained improvement in collection efficiency with higher CGFMU coverage provide us with confidence to scale this business in a calibrated and prudent manner as we go forward. And further, it's important for me to highlight and reiterate, 100% of our rural loans are underwritten using our proprietary scorecard called NewScore, and that gives us a lot more edge in ensuring that we have right selection metrics of customers. Moving on to our credit solution business, we continue to benefit from strong, loyal, expanding base of about 365 originating partners whom we work with. More importantly, the quality of our network remained robust. And fair to highlight, the 90% of our partners are rated BBB and above, reflecting their credit strength and underwriting discipline. More importantly, our partner have healthy balance sheet with approximately 95% having capital adequacy of more than 20%, providing resilient, supportive and sustainable growth across the credit ecosystem in India. A fee-based business is a key differentiator for Northern Arc. That complements our lending operations within the credit solution platform. Our placement volume for FY26 was about 11,800 crores, with placement fee growing to about 22% year-on-year to about 31 crores. Further, our credit funds assets under management is about 3,000 crores, which garnered the fee of about 38 crores in FY26. This performance underscores our strategic focus in building a comprehensive credit solution ecosystem, leveraging capital light and stream along with the balance sheet lending model. The company continued to place strong emphasis on credit risk management and leverage AI and machine learning driven underwriting model, which complemented by a continuous field monitoring. Over the years, we've built a robust data ecosystem comprising of 50 million data points, enabling development of 300 plus underwriting model across our businesses. Our risk framework is further strengthened by a dedicated team of 100 plus professionals. In addition to centralized technology-led monitoring, our risk undertakes on-ground visit of nearly 25% of districts where we and our partner operate each year, providing valuable insights in local market dynamics and emerging risk. To put it in context, our portfolio is spread at about 680 districts, and i.e. that means over 220 odd districts we cover in detail, covering multiple partners and our own branch networks. It gives us a far more granular touch and feel of what's happening in the market. Company also follows a conservative provisioning policy, 100% provisions on consumer or all unsecured loans on 90 plus days past due. While this approach may lead to relatively higher near-term credit costs compared to peers, it materially reduces the carry-forward delinquent pool and lowers further provisioning requirements. These initiatives have resulted in resilient and well-diversified loan book, with net NPA consistently being maintained below 1% over the years. During the quarter, RBI issued the guidelines on treatment of default loss guarantee in computation of ECL, permitting NBFC to factor in the cash collateral as FLDG, thereby aligning the regulatory approach with NDS requirement. As a prudent measure, company created a management overlay for potential unforeseen events given the current macroeconomic environment and what we are witnessing in the West Asia. Operationally, the collection efficiencies continue to improve across the key retail portfolio, with MSME LAP Rural Finance, our collection efficiency reaching 99.4 and 99.6% respectively on X bucket. Following robust collection performance, stage 2 assets have shown consistent improvement, declining from 2.6% in September to about 1.8% in December 25 and further to 1.5% in March 26. This reduction reflects moderation in early bucket stress and continued improvement in overall asset quality. Consequently, credit costs for quarter 4 has improved from 2.2% while full year credit costs stood at about 2.8 6% in line with the guidance we have issued earlier. As a company, we further strengthen our collection capability through implementation of strong collection systems. Platform enhances collection tracking, improves field force productivity, and enables sharper adult delinquency monitoring and support data-driven recovery strategies. We believe this will further improve collection efficiency, strengthen portfolio quality, and support scalable growth across the retail lending segment. Overall performance for 26 was resilient despite the challenges beginning of the year arising out of the Karnataka microfinance ordinance. We have entered the new fiscal year on a strong footing with disbursal momentum sustaining at the level seen in the recent month and remain confident of delivering a robust growth trajectory for FY27. Looking ahead, we remain watchful of evolving risk, including geopolitical tension in West Asia, potential impact on weather and monsoon. We believe the company is well positioned to sustain its growth momentum through a calibrated risk management and disciplined execution while continuing to protect the profitability and the portfolio quality. With that, I'm going to request my colleague Atul, our CFO, to walk you through our financial results in detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashish, and good evening, everyone. I appreciate you joining us for the Northern Arc's Q4 FY26 earnings call. Let me start with two important milestones that we have crossed during the year. First, our assets under management stood at 16,594 crores, reflecting a growth of 22% year-on-year and 10% Q-on-Q. Secondly, we have crossed PAT of rupees 400 crores in FY26. So within the AUM mix, the direct-to-customer business contributed 59%, with MSME finance at 22%, consumer finance at about 30%, and MFI at 6%. The net interest income for Q4 FY26, the net interest income grew by 21% YOY to 387 crores. For FY26, NII grew by 20% YOY to 1376 crores, and NIMS improved by 25 basis points year-on-year to 9.4%. The cost of fund for FY26 decreased by 48 basis points year-on-year to 8.5%. Q4 FY26 was at 8.5%. The incremental cost of fund for quarter 4 was at around 8.6%. The net revenue, including the fee income for FY26, grew 19% YOY to 1,484 crores, and for Q4 FY26 grew by 18% YOY to 414 crores. Our OPEX ratio for FY26 and Q4 FY26 was flat at 3.6 and 3.7% respectively. We have added 66 branches and merged 2 branches during the quarter. Pre-provisioning operating profit for FY26 grew by 21% YOY to 956 crores. For quarter 4 FY26, it grew by 17% YOY to 269 crores. GNPA and NNPA improved quarter on quarter to 12% and 0.6% respectively. Credit cost improved from 3.2% in FY25 to 2.8%. in FY26, which is in line with the guidance given in the previous calls. Credit cost for Q4 FY26 improved from 3.5% in Q3 FY26 to 2.2% in Q4 FY26. Profit after tax for FY26 increased by 33% YOY to 406 crores. For quarter 4, it increased by 251%. YOY and 32% quarter-on-quarter to 133 crores. ROA for FY26 grew by 34 basis points, YOY to 2.8%. ROA for Q4 increased by 66 basis points, Q-on-Q to 3.3%. ROE for the FY26 increased by 110 basis points to 11.1%. And ROE for quarter 4 increased by 326 basis points to 14%. On the liability front, in line with our debt strategy and AUM growth plans, we continue to diversify our funding base with a clear focus on long-term sources. Liquidity remains comfortable with positive cumulative mismatch across all time buckets As on March 31st, we held a surplus of close to 1,250 crores with a good mix of cash and bank balance and undrawn sanctions from various banks and institutions. Total borrowings at the end of the quarter stood at 12,258 crores with around 60% linked to variable interest rate, positioning us well to benefit from the ongoing decline in interest rates. Our funding mix remains well diversified with 25% sourced from offshore and DFI partners and the balance from domestic banks and institutions. Our incremental cost of fund in quarter four was 8.6%, down from 9.3% same period last year. Tangible net worth stood at 3,896 crores, which grew by 13% YOY. So we have strengthened the balance sheet materially. Our debt equity ratio improved from 3.9x in March 24 to 3.1x as of March 26. Capital adequacy remains quite strong at 22.6%, well above the regulatory requirement, giving us ample headroom to grow the balance sheet over the next 2 to 3 years. Thank you so much, and we now open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Digantharia with Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and Ashish and team, congratulations. Last quarter we hit a century. We are now comfortably above that number. So you know, like I'll start with one question. Like, you know, it seems like we had, you know, like our flight has taken off, but you know, now with the macro situation which is evolving, what kind of guidance would we like to give for FY27?
Hey, thank you.
You know, for loan growth and ROAs, you know, the two.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. I think as we look at it, given the disciplined execution and focus on risk and what we are investing in building capabilities, both in terms of collection, risk management, AI and other stuff, our sense is that we should be able to grow business at about 3 times of GDP. So look at anywhere between 22 to 25%, and that's our commitment to the street on a forward-looking basis, unless we see something massive. We've obviously recalibrated some segments, sectors, to ensure we stay prudent on where we think the risk could be higher. And I think from where we ended on a full-year basis, my objective is to get to 3+ return on assets. And like we said, over the next 8 to 10 quarters, get to mid-teens and late-teens ROE. And we're pretty disciplined, focused on what we want to do and how we want to achieve. The good thing is that the founding block across the three lines is set. Obviously, given the CRED solution now is a very, very comprehensive play with ability to participate from balance sheet, new sets of funds being launched, building a bonds platform, a placement business, very unique capability unlike anyone else. With securitization, you know, interesting to highlight, we almost did 10,000 crore of securitization last year. So all of that creates very strong competitive moats for what we do. Discipline, execution, and build out on the digital side, I think, shows that the growth in that sector and ability to ensure that we generate the risk-adjusted return of upward of 15% is, to my mind, this requires very sharp focus. Our tech capabilities, risk capabilities, theirs demands what we do. Building out of the MSME, which is a very important sector, but being more cautious with it given there is a larger number of players wanting to participate. More importantly, also in some of the segments, sectors, you could see higher bit of stress in a shorter period of time, and so ensure your risk underwriting principles there are aligned. And rural, we were in way back in 24, we started bringing this down to where we had. We actually brought it down from 1,500 to down to about 550. And we're now building it back, and we've seen the performance there gives us the confidence to build it back. We ensure, irrespective of what kind of the loan is, it goes through our fully proprietary scorecards, which gives us a lot more confidence apart from CGFMU. End of the day, when you originate a loan, you would originate it to ensure that you get right set of risk-adjusted return. So I think if you continue to stay on course on our strategy, on building comprehensive solution and direct-to-customer business, building on the competitive moats on the fee franchise, that our path is pretty clearly laid down to where we are today, where we want to get to next fiscal, the following fiscal, and thereafter. I think this is in line with what we've said strategically and in the past. How do we get to mid to late teens? And I think that path is set out for us. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Ashish. That is quite detailed. You know, I think you touched upon two points in your comments, which I just wanted to check. That this MSME, especially the merchant lending part within the MSME and this whole consumer, direct to consumer finance, that has probably grown at 50% this year. So just wanted to check, is there any, risk building up or, because, that's a segment where I think our average ticket size is hardly 20,000-30,000 rupees. So if you can just give some color on, why we grew 50% and, what are the risk measures and what opportunities do you see?
Okay, so we underwrite on the consumer finance side, correct, which is essentially linked to the consumption loans, about 25 to 26,000 loans a day. Each loan's underwritten through our scorecards, and we are very sharply focused on the risk-adjusted. We then have multiple cohorts to ensure that we balance that risk across customer segments, scorecard distribution of the quality of new flow coming in. What gives us the confidence in what we've done and how we've built it is two parts. How our stock of book is performing. More importantly, what is the quality of the customers coming to you every day through the door? That's your future, and what you have in the book is what you have in the book. And I think if you look at it, that business on a risk-adjusted basis making 15% is a great business, and we continue to invest in it and build this business right. MSME, we actually recalibrated given we saw two things. One is the overlap of a little bit between the MFI and other sectors. So we our average ticket size is about 12 to 15 lakhs. We don't operate in, 0 to 5 or less than 7 lakhs loans because we want certain size and quality of customers to come in. We're happy to operate at 18, 17 and a half, 18 plus kind of yield. We're not chasing 24% yield. That was business, and given, while you estimate the income, which I specifically wrote, but we registered the mortgage. So it's not an imperfect or estimated income with an imperfect collateral. It is an estimated income with a perfect collateral. And that gives us a confidence that quality of book over a period of time will create a strong annuity franchise for Northern Arc. I think that's where it is. We could have grown faster, but and also we were starting from a small base, so it's unfair to compare us to other players. We all this business collectively is about 9,800 crores. So when you start from a smaller base, your growth numbers look higher, but in reality is the market is huge, and we have to ensure we stay focused, both in terms of our risk principles and how do we connect, engage with our customers. I think those are two big pieces.
Perfect. Thanks, Ashish. Just one suggestion to you and the team that, in our MSME, we can probably separate out that merchant lending part because, that's a digital piece. Rest everything is, a physical world business. So, if we can do that, that would be really good.
Good feedback. We'll obviously look at it. But that's also an important piece where we calibrated a lot, correct? Between the nature of merchants can be very different. But a good feedback noted. We'll try and see how do we restack as we get into the new fiscal year. Thanks.
Perfect. Wish you all the best. And, that's just one question for Atul is that, is there any one-off in the results? Like, is that if we own write back or something, or this is like pure organic?
Pure organic, except for the DLG that we spoke about, but apart from that, there is
it's
nothing.
Pure organic. This is pure organic. Continue to provide.
So there is no one-off as far as the credit cost and others are concerned.
Perfect. Congratulations to the team. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Raghav with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. I just have a few questions. One, I understand that in the intermediate retail lending piece, you through that piece, you have developed expertise in vehicle finance and affordable housing finance over a period of time. Do you plan to launch any of these products, say, maybe in the next 1-2 years or maybe over the medium term? If not these, then do you have plans to launch any other new product, you know, in addition to MSME, MFI and consumer finance that you're doing already, which could help you on you know, which would build on your retail lending growth? That's my first question.
No, thanks. It's a relevant question. Obviously, two things will happen. In consumer finance, we'll try and bring more capabilities to create a convenient financing solution. Thereby, if customers is transacting and needs a financing solution, we're working with partners can provide that financing solution directly. The second, in the current network of branch, we can obviously do affordable housing. We want to ensure that the LAP, current loan against property business, reach a certain size and scale, and then we can open that product. My learning over the years is the time you open the focus on the affordable housing segment, then the focus on the business loans comes down, and we want to stay sharply focused right now. That product is anyway approved by us and by our board at some point in time, opportune point in time, we will launch it as a network matures over a period of time.
Understood. The other question is that your ECL coverage overall, or even if I look at on a stage-wise basis, has been coming down. How should one read that? Why is that happening?
Sorry, why didn't I get Partha talk about it?
Yeah. As you would have heard, the Reserve Bank of RBI has amended the guidelines to provide the benefit of DLG that is available on our portfolio to take in the financials. We did get some benefit from that, because of which the expected losses which are covered by the FLDG, which in the end anyway would not have been a credit loss to us, is something that we didn't have to the ECL required for that portfolio has come down. As the mix of that in stage two assets is pretty high, so basically, these are 31 to 90 day sort of DPD loans, which were actually backed by the FLDG that is available for that portfolio. However, the benefit of that was not available earlier. Post the RBI guideline, which came in February 26, we could take benefit of that, because of which optically the ECL coverage has come down for the stage 2. However, this benefit was always available to us, and the credit losses in any way would not have come to us.
But this, say, ECL coverage is 12%. You're seeing the reduction from 24% from the December quarter is because of the RBI guidelines. But say, even when I look at or compare this with what you had in 24 or 25, may not be 25 because that's when the guidelines came, but if I compare it to 24, then it's lower, right? And even on stage 3, the coverage has been coming down. Ideally, I don't think that would, the RBI guidelines would impact stage 3. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but that is where I wanted to understand as to why the ECL 3 coverage has been coming down, and why is stage 2 lower than even FY24 levels.
Again, stage 2 is lower because of the mix change. Stage 2 in 23-24 was not really coming from the proportion of the portfolios covered by FLDG, much lower, because of which the requirement for ECL was higher at that period of time. More than 50% of the portfolio that is now in stages, that is 31 to 90 DPD, is covered by FLDG, because of which the ECL requirement has now come down with the RBI guideline. Coming to stage 3, again, the earlier what we had as stage 3 assets were unsecured. Now the mix has changed, and now whatever we are carrying as stage 3 assets are mainly coming from MSME secured, where obviously you get the benefit of the collateral that is available, because of which the ECL coverage requirement for that is much lower.
Understood. Just to confirm, I think Ashish mentioned mid to high teen ROE in 7 to 8 quarters, right? So you could be looking at a 15 to 18% range in next 2 years. Is that a fair assumption?
But 8 to 10 quarters, yes, that's the target.
Okay. Yeah, in about 2 to 2.5 years, you should be looking at about 15% to 18% ROE.
15% to 17%.
Okay, sure. That was all from my side. Thank you a lot for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue, we request you to please restrict yourselves to 2 questions only. You may rejoin the queue if you have any further questions. Our next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a very strong set of numbers. Now the credit cost has been quite a
Sorry to interrupt, Chintan, but your line is bad.
Congratulations on the quarter, on the very strong set of numbers, and thank you for the opportunity. So, firstly, on the credit cost, so it has declined quite meaningfully in this quarter, and we ended the year around 2.8%. So, what kind of number are we targeting for FY27? And just for clarification, this credit cost of 2.8% is now the net credit cost after adjusting for the FLDG provision. That's the first question.
The overall year credit cost of 2.8% is after adjusting for the FLDG benefit. And going forward also, we would expect the credit cost to be in the range of 2.7 to 2.8%. That is what is the plan projection.
And on the borrowing speed, so now in cost of funds I've seen us quite a sharp decline in this year. It is now at 8.7 versus 9.3 last year. Probably now with the rate cut pause, do we expect this to bottom out or is further moderation expected in the coming quarters as well?
So Chintan, in our past calls we have been mentioning that we have been doing a lot of variable interest rate borrowings. But I think for the last one quarter, we have seen the interest rate bottoming out, and that's the reason we have been adding more and more fixed rate. So in fact, our share of the fixed rate has now gone up from around 30% to around 40% of our overall borrowing. So we are doing more NCDs, we are doing more ECB transactions in the last 4 quarters. Market has been tough. We have seen liquidity tighten, we have seen the G-Sec rates going up by close to 50 basis points. We have also seen the hedge cost going up significantly over the last couple of months. But I think in spite of that, we have been able to maintain our cost of borrowings, quite effectively. We have borrowed close to around 8,000 crores during the year. Our borrowing is now almost at 12,900 crores. But we are seeing the interest rate, bottoming out. And a couple of quarters, I think now we should see the RBI also increasing rates. We have also not seen too much of transmission happened from the banking sector post the reduction of the repo rates by the RBI. So I think overall this has been a good year for us as far as the treasury management is concerned. We have brought down the cost of fund incrementally from 9.3% last year to 8.7%, and on the overall book our cost of fund has come down by 50 basis points.
But from FY27 perspective, do we expect some moderation in the margins given the rise in the cost of funds, or will that be cut off by the benefit on
We will definitely not see a reduction in the cost of fund, but we will be able to hold on to the numbers that we have demonstrated this year. So maybe we will not see any further reduction, but I think 8.5 to 8.6% is something we'll be able to hold.
So
pertinent to highlight as the mix continues to improve from 59 to targeted 65%, you will see some bit of expansion in NIMs. More importantly, as we see the MFI and other markets stabilizing and reselecting, and that's what we're seeing in our portfolio. I also see it gives us a lot more tailwinds in our placement business and other fee lines. I will be fairly bullish as we look at these things unfolding, assuming that the current West Asia crisis get resolved over this quarter and so on and so forth. because the underlying portfolio on MFI, which used to be large part of our credit solution business, also will give us a much needed tailwind.
So this is very helpful. Thank you and all the best for the future quarter.
Thank you. Abhinav.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pawan Kumar from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Ashish, Chetan, everyone, thank you so much for the opportunity and really great set of results. Hope I'm audible.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so across the parameters that you have given guidance on meeting 60% D2C or, you know, the 3% ROA, across the parameters, you have done like a tremendous job. So congrats on that. So a couple of questions. On the credit cost front, right? So last year when the RBI regulation has come in, we had to make an additional provision of 80 crores on the FLEG. But this year the reversal is only 25 crores or 29 crores. And so why is the number so much lower this year compared to whatever write back that we could get last year? That's one part. Second part is, you know, if I adjust for that and the additional provision that you have made, the actual credit cost this quarter is only 50 crores. Is that understanding correct?
Okay. Right. Atul Parda, do you want to walk the math? But before you go, I think the way we look at it, you know, in the last March to 30th when this notice happened on between with regards to DLG using that benefit, our position was that as an abundant caution, we're creating this reserve. We knew at some point in time with regards to the regulation, the interpretation will get clarified over a period of time, which happened. If you adjust for that, I think we will hold to 2.7 to 2.8. And Parda, you might want to walk through, or Atul, you might want to walk through the film math so that, you know, there is a clarity around it.
Just a few clarifications. Number one is the 29 crores number that you are seeing is only for the Q4, not the full year number. Second is the 80 crores was the requirement at that point of time, and the amount of provision that we took in Q4 of 25 was 68 crores. Adjusted for all this, the actual the credit cost without the overlay and adjusted for all this would have been closer to around 120 crores, which would have been much closer to the 3%, 2.9 to 3%, which we would have otherwise got.
So this quarter number would have been 120 crores approximately.
But I think you need to adjust for what you took as one time, because there and now this clarity exists. So that's why we think on a steady state forward looking, we should be able to hold 2.7 to 2.8.
Got it, sir. And in one of the questions earlier, you have mentioned that most of the credit cost in MSME is coming from the secured LAP. And earlier in the presentation...
Not really. What I mentioned is that the stage 3 asset, because we have our accounting policy is to write off the unsecured retail loans at 90 DPD, the asset buildup in stage 3 happens to be the MSME secured, because of which the ECL requirement for that is low.
Understood. So earlier, on a quarterly basis, you used to give credit cost by segment. This year, I mean, this quarter in the presentation, I see it for the full year. But if I don't know if I'm not seeing it, but I can't see the quarterly. Okay, it'd be great if you can give it on the quarterly basis as well. That would be, and one last thing, on the MSME LAP, I know you mentioned that you are not seeing any impact from the war or the conflict-related issues. But are you, how are you seeing going forward, like in terms of the credit quality, fees, and in terms of disbursement ramp up? Yeah, that's it from my end.
So the potential conflicted, let's call the entire MSME universe, and between gas, petrol, farm, chemicals, pesticide, farm, correct? All of that is less than 2% of our book. Obviously, like I said in my early comment, that we've also calibrated it from Feb onwards, from the advent of this event, across whether it was financing the merchants, whether it is secured lending, whether it is. So I think that gives us a confidence saying why we remain calibrated in terms of the way we go about building asset. You know, stay very sharply focused on the quality of book.
Got it. Thank you. All the best. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kaushik Agarwal from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible.
Sir, you're audible. Yes. You may proceed.
Yeah. So I have two questions. So firstly, on slide number 16, referring to the consumer finance business, there the net yield number you have mentioned are broadly sticky at around 15%. In the last slide, I was seeing that this number was roughly the targeted range which you indicated was marginally higher. So just wanted to know, has there been any reduction on the yield side over here? Second piece on the consumer finance business only, what I wanted to understand is from the partners which you have mentioned, there are roughly 28 partners. So anything if you can mention around the color, if there is any concentrated exposure towards any particular partner. Like, I wanted to understand whether the book is reasonably diversified or not. And if you can mention something on the asset quality piece as well. And then the second question is on the borrowing side. So on the borrowing mix, I can see that from December to March quarter, you have your borrowing mix from the banking channel has gone down. This seems to be slightly counterintuitive because broadly the market yields have moved up. So, and even on the banking data, when we see that lending towards NBFCs have actually gone up. So what's the strategy in terms of raising money from the borrowing side and on the cost of fund side, if you can broadly give some color on these two questions?
Oh, yes, sure. We've always said that the risk-adjusted yield on the consumer finance book will hover between 15% to 16%. If you refer to some of the previous conversation and my original comment, we continue to calibrate where we, in the customer selection, the way we select and underwrite each customer which comes in through the door. But consciously, over the last, if I look at it, over the last 24 months, few things we've consciously avoided and, you know, actually brought it down to almost zero. One is the short term. We want to ensure a little bit of sticky for 15, 18 months kind of a book rather than short term book, which we thought, well, gives us higher yield but also comes with a higher cost. The second, we've also put a cap on the end APR given our reputation for nature of business we do. So obviously we let go of some segments which we thought may not be long-term accretive in line with the Northern Arc values and principles. I think on the liability side, I'm going to ask Atul to talk, but it's a very interesting answer you should get from him.
So, you know, Chintan's question, I had actually answered that we have been increasing our share of fixed rate instruments because we believe that the interest rate has bottomed out. So in the last few months, we have been doing more of capital market issuances and also a lot of offshore borrowing, which both of them have a fixed rate, interest rate. So our share has gone up as far as the fixed rate is concerned, and the bank borrowings have also come down. So the bank borrowings used to be close to 52% of my total borrowing in March 25. This has consciously come down to around 45% as we speak in March 26. So I think, we should be quite okay with a lower bank borrowing and lower dependency on bank borrowing. And rather, we would like to diversify more on the offshore, which has been going up for us, as well as on the capital market. We have also been able to do a lot of transactions under the securitization route, especially the PTC transactions. And I think diversification will be key going forward as well.
Got it. Just one last question on the consumer business side. What would be your risk-adjusted return or the ROA on this piece of business? I believe that this would be substantially higher than the overall business ROA.
Yes, it is. I said the risk-adjusted yield is 15%, 15% to 16% range. The return on assets will be obviously much higher if you look at it upward of close to about 4%.
Sorry, sir, what number you mentioned? Close to
4%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sirs.
So I just want to thank everyone for participating and joining us today evening. I know it's late on Friday evening, hence we wanted to respect the time. Thank you all, and we happy, Chetan and I and Atul William Parda will be happy to engage if you have any other question to answer. Chetan will connect and ensure we're able to answer all your questions. Thank you all. Have a great weekend and a great year ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services and Northern Arc, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.